All right, hello, and welcome back to another episode of A Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I have Big Cass here on the phone, and Big Cass, Fran McCaffrey is mad, to say the least. Last night, he got teed up in the game against Ohio State. Ohio State obviously won 90-70. It was an absolute blowout. Justin Ahrens is a beast, but the big story is Fran McCaffrey, Iowa's head coach, is suspended 2 games now because he was cursing at an official after the game.
Yeah, he went on and he put a nice apology and everything, but he went on and basically said, "You cheating, mother, things that I can't say on air." I mean, Big Ten official officiating has been god-awful all season, and he finally... I don't like Fran McCaffrey. You got to have more class and sport than that, but I understand his frustration as a Buckeye fan, that the Big Ten officiating has been god-awful all season, and it's been a fight and a grind, and it's just, you know, this team was not playing well all night and got thumped by 20 and didn't like the... that his son got teed up 58 seconds before that. So, and then he goes in and acts like an imbecile after the game. And so, even Tom Izzo has more class than that. And, you know, doesn't get up into a rest race like that after the game.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of bad calls in that game. Obviously, in the first half, Chris Holtmann got a technical. Obviously Holtmann shouldn't have done that, but the referees have been really, really bad as of late. In the Maryland game last week, there was a play where, you know, Luther Muhammad drove to the basket, looked like he got fouled, then Caleb Wesson got the rebound in between three people, everyone's hacking at him, misses the shot, gets the rebound again, another guy hooks his arm, no call, basically 3 fouls on 3 shots, no call, and then today... yesterday, Fran McCaffrey freaks out. It's obviously, you can't do that, but it was semi-warranted, I think, because these officials have been really bad. In the game against Iowa specifically, there was a play where Dwayne Washington was driving to the rim, and he got hit, whacked on the head, and it was a clear-as-day foul, clear-as-day. And it's just, I don't know what the Big Ten officials look at these days. They're not very good. They're honestly up there with the officials in the NFC Championship game, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're getting pretty darn close. I mean, I don't know how many times I've watched this season. Caleb Wesson will basically have his arm straight up in the air and barely tap a guy, and they would call somebody ticky-tack fouls on Caleb Wesson. I got to give it to Caleb Wesson last night. He played pretty good last night. Didn't get in foul trouble. But how about, in my opinion, and I've been saying this all season long, Andre Wesson is the MVP of this basketball team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he's really improved his scoring output as of late. He's almost at 10 points a game. He's at 8.9, but, I mean... He's really been an important scorer for the team. He's reliable now from three, and that block he had against Iowa yesterday was just, I thought that was LeBron James out there.
Yeah, I mean, Andre Weston, he goes in and he doesn't have talent that his brother does, but he's obviously got some talent. He's not, or he wouldn't be playing, wouldn't be a starting forward on a high profile college basketball team, but his motor is so fascinating. If he had half the skills that his brother did, you put Caleb Wesson and Andre Wesson onto one Wesson brother, he's Big Ten Player of the Year and possibly Naismith Winner of the Year, in my opinion, just because the way Andre Wesson plays. The kid goes 110% all season. We've seen it early in the season when he lost 2 tees. He's taken so many elbows to the face. He just goes out and plays hard. And a lot of the local radio stations say up here, when this Buckeye team plays so much better when Andre Wesson is on the floor.
I know he's not the same position as him, but he does remind me of this team's version of Aaron Kraft.
Yeah, a little bit. And if you want to just go a little bit farther down, when Tom Monta first got there, I mean, he reminds you a lot of Jakel Foster, who will get you the 8 and 9 points, but he'll play great defense or and stuff, or he'll hit a Matt Sylvester style shot just to keep things going. That's just who he reminds me of. Luther Muhammad reminds me of a young J.J. Sullender. Luther Muhammad started to get in his group. He's right now in he's in a slump right now, but Justin Arns really picked up the slack last night with the 29 points. I mean, he was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Justin Arens, he's starting now, which is I think a change was warranted at the small forward position, just because Ohio State, I know Andre Wesson is a great asset there, but I just felt like that position all season long was kind of Ohio State's Achilles heel, and they find this kid Arens, who can basically shoot the ball like he's Steph Curry. It's ridiculous. I mean, 29 points yesterday. I think he was like 6 for 9 shooting, 60% from 3. He just needs to shoot more. Like, we saw him shoot in the Maryland game, and he was very effective. In the first half, everyone was like, oh, Arens isn't doing anything in his first start. And then he goes down and makes three of four three-pointers, and just like that, Ohio State's back in the game against Maryland. Last night, he says, you know what? I'm just going to shoot it, because you know what? He's good at it. Keep shooting the rock, young buck. Let it fly, because right now, Luther Muhammad, he's a kind of a shell of himself. I think he's hitting the freshman wall. It looks like he's very tired, overworked. I think what they got to do with Luther Muhammad and C.J. Jackson is they got to manage both their minutes right now, because C.J. Jackson's obviously banged up. They got to basically rotate Muhammad and C.J. Jackson in and out for each other, because they're both banged up, and right now this team is really relying on, obviously, Caleb Wessing. Dwayne Washington, too, has stepped up as late. I mean, he's doing a lot of scoring for the Buckeyes, and if we basically can get, you know, Dwayne Washington to handle the ball, Caleb Wessing down low, and then just if Arens, Keyshawn Woods, and Andre Wesson make their shots while managing Muhammad's and C.J. Jackson's minutes, I think this team could be in for a run. But it begs the question, Cass, are the Buckeyes in the tournament with this win?
I think they are, but they're not a lock. I think if they can go in Saturday and knock off Purdue, they are definitely a lock. They've got to be ready for Purdue, because Purdue and Carson Edwards are going to bring a lot of energy. It's tough to win in Mackey Arena. I mean, obviously, we put off the victory last year with Caleb Ace out for the last second shot. But we have to go in with the same energy we had in the second half against Maryland, and we have to go in with the same energy that we had against Iowa. Arns is not going to score 29 points again. We got to have Luther Muhammad step back up. I know he's banged up, but he's got to come through and grind. And I think Andre West has got to keep playing like he has. And hopefully Caleb West stays out of foul trouble. And maybe Musa Jallo and Kyle Young and, you know, and Dwayne Washington. If Dwayne Washington can get close to double digits, and we can get Jallo to hit a couple of big shots and Kyle Young to play free out of his mind, I think they're going to be okay. They just got to come with the same energy. But I think with Northwestern next week at Northwestern, that's no slouch either. These next two road games are going to be really tough. And then they got the senior day where, you know, it's Joey Lane and Keyshawn Woods and C.J. Jackson. Last game, I think we can get Wisconsin. I think we can get them on senior day. But I think if they definitely beat Purdue this week, they are a lock to get into the tournament.
I'm not going to say if they beat Purdue, it's a lock. I think they got to get to 20 wins. If they get to 20 wins somehow, you know, even if they lose to Purdue and, say, Wisconsin, you know, they beat Northwestern and they win one game in the tournament, the Big Ten tournament, I think they'll be a lock then. I think they just got to get to that magic number 20.
I agree. The thing is I think even if they don't beat Purdue or don't beat Wisconsin, they definitely cannot lose
to Northwestern.
They've got to win two of these next three games, in my opinion. And then I think they've got to win at least one game in the tournament. But I think they're going to win a couple games in the tournament. I think, you know, Holman's going to have them ready. I think that you get that week off so you can get a break and get some rest. And I really think they'll be ready. And I think they can win a couple games in the Big Ten tournament. And I still think the Purdue game is big key because Purdue is ranked and it's on the road. They haven't had they've only got one ranked opponent win on the road this year, and that's Cincinnati. So that's their biggest win on the road. So if they can go in the Mackey Arena and knock off the Boilermakers, in my opinion, they're a lock. But they have to, but they cannot drop. They have to beat Purdue. That'll help them, but they cannot drop the next two after that. They have to win two of the next three.
Absolutely. And, I mean, Purdue, obviously Carson Edwards is probably one of the best players in the conference. I don't think anyone's denying that. But
no, I mean, between him and Cassius Winston, in my opinion, they're the Big Ten Player of the Year. But, I mean, obviously, I think Cassius Winston's going to get that. But, you know, you're looking at Carson Edwards, an all-first-team, all-Big Ten player. And then you got the tall, lanky guy who I kind of think he looks like a skinny Dolph Lundgren.
Matt Harms, the volleyball player.
Yeah,
you're going to hear that five times on Saturday. Oh, he used to play volleyball or something. But, I mean, that guy's pesky. He's only averaging, you know, 8.4 points a game, but he's much better than his stat line states.
Yeah, and he plays very emotional basketball, too.
I mean, I could totally see him and Caleb Weston getting into a nice little scuffle, maybe a pushing match during this game. And then Purdue's second best scorer, Ryan Klein, he's a guard. He's pretty solid, too. I mean, Purdue doesn't have a lot of scorers. They're kind of like Ohio State. They're predicated on one big scorer. In Ohio State's case, it's really Caleb Weston. Purdue's case, it's a guard. And then they have a guard. They're, you know, their point guard. Well, Ryan Klein's more of a shooting guard. He's their secondary scorer, kind of similar to what C.J. Jackson is. The teams are very similar, but Purdue just plays the game that Ohio State plays a lot better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ohio State's got it. I think they got to bring their A game. Definitely bring their A game.
It's going to be a dogfight. But kind of, I guess, pivoting from basketball, I think they'll drop to Purdue and then win their next two. But pivoting from basketball, Big Cass, the AFL is back in Columbus, and it means that the Columbus Destroyers are coming back to Nationwide Arena. So break out your old Matt Nagy jerseys.
Yeah, the head coach of the Chicago Bears. I'm excited for that because we're here in Columbus. And, you know, as is a Bunch of Nuts podcast is a part of BigSportsBulletin.com. Go check that website out, everybody, please. That's, you know, we're all five of us are grinding hard, and we've got a big event coming up this weekend that we'll reveal at the end of the show. I'm excited for it. We're working on getting our credentials for it so we can start covering the AFL. But, I'm pretty excited. Hopefully they keep the colors. I mean, they're, you know, the colors that we see in the logo, they're black and gray and white. I mean, I hope they keep those colors because I wasn't too fond of the Blue Jackets already. You know, the Blue Jackets are blue, red, and white, and silver, and I didn't really care for the Destroyers having those colors either.
I mean, I'm a fan of the red, white, and blue, but I could also see them going, you know, scarlet and gray would have been nice, or go with the Columbus Crew, the colors, or the black and the black and yellow, or the black and gold. It just kind of feels like they're piggybacking off the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, I think they're going to be black and silver. I'm not totally sure, though.
That's cool. So it's kind of like the Oakland Raiders, then.
Yeah. But that goes to my question, Dan. You know, I posted when they found out the AFL was coming back that, as a joke, that breaking news, Urban Meyer will be the come the head coach. But I know that's quite far. But let's talk about some former Buckeyes. Some former Buckeyes that can play in the AFL. One comes to mind, you know, obviously, if they want to sell tickets and bring tickets to the Nationwide Arena, which, you know, when the Blue Jackets aren't making a playoff run, and it's football, why not bring up Buckeye legend, that quarterback, maybe like a Cardale Jones or JT Barrett? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know they're still young in the NFL, but that would sell tickets, in my opinion.
So I feel like the key with this, you kind of got to hit a sweet spot between – if you're like the Columbus Destroyers, when you sign these guys, it's got to be a sweet spot. These guys can't be too big of names and too good, or else they're going to be playing in the AAF or the NFL or the CFL. They got to be, you know, just like desperate enough to want to come play in the AFL. I hate to say it. I mean, I feel like if me or you could honestly train for a year and probably make the roster, I think, but not insulting these guys. One name that comes to mind, I mean, we were just kind of talking about it before the show, but what about a guy like Briante Dunn? You know, he got dismissed off the Ohio State football team because of a, you know, sexual assault allegation. Eventually was cleared of the charges, but kind of, you know, really derailed his football career. I feel like a guy like that, you know, could maybe come in and play some running back. Or maybe a guy who hasn't really, you know, gone to the NFL or played much football after Ohio State, like a safety, like Eric Smith, who played a lot 2 years ago, splitting time with Jordan Fuller, but really we haven't seen him in any other leagues or anything. I think, you know, guys like that could be good. Obviously, they're not huge names. One huge name who I really like, Big Cast, he's not Ohio State related, but he's been in the news today, is Johnny Manziel. I think if the Columbus Destroyers want to make a splash, they go make an offer to Johnny Manziel. He's not Ohio State, but he did play for the Browns. I think that would draw a lot of media in, and I think that could be a good fit.
Yeah, that could possibly be a good fit, but if you want to go back towards Buckeyes, a couple of names that come to my mind at wide receiver, what about Corey Smith and Dontre Wilson? But yeah, those are a couple of names that, you know, make some decent splashes for Ohio State. But yeah, Johnny Manziel would definitely sell tickets, in my opinion. And you definitely see a lot of the Browns' Johnny Manziel jerseys come back out of life, too. But I think I don't think he'd come back to Ohio and play for the Destroyers. I mean, I think if he would go to the AFL again, or I think you'd end up in that new league that's going on right now, and more than the AFL. I mean, I couldn't believe the AFL still existed until a couple of weeks ago when they decided to come back to Columbus.
They're also expanding to Atlantic City. So if you want to come visit New Jersey for a weekend, we'll go see the Destroyers in AC and gamble a little bit.
Well, maybe that sounds more like Johnny Manziel's lifestyle out there in Atlantic City.
So it might be a great fit then. Go play for the Atlantic City team.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. And then, I mean, the other league too now is the AAF. And, I mean, the Atlanta Legends, that's, I guess, the Ohio State team. Ohio State doesn't have an official team that, like, selects players from Ohio State. They're kind of spread out. Like, Marcus Ball, he's on the San Diego Fleet. The Atlanta Legends has like three or four Buckeyes. They have, I believe, Tracy Sprinkle and Duran Grant and someone else. And the big name, though, is on the Orlando Apollos. Jalen Marshall is basically, you know, the Jerry Rice of this league. He's catching a touchdown every other game, and it looks like he's going to be back in the NFL by next season.
This is very possible. This first game, he scored three touchdowns two different ways, and or three, two or three different ways. He's completely revamped his game, and I think he's having a lot of fun. I think a lot of these Ohio State players are having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I like the AF. I think it's football. It's not the best football. But I think it's a happy medium in between college and the NFL. I really do.
I do too. I mean, I like the non-roughing the passer calls or not being called.
You saw what happened to the San Diego quarterback. It just got popped, but I'm not going to complain about football. I'm going to watch it if I'm not doing anything. I'm obviously, no one's going to schedule their weekend around it unless you live in, Birmingham and actually go support the team. That's great. But, I mean, it's football, and it's going to get us through. It's going to get us a day closer to that kickoff in September.
Yeah, speaking of which, as of last Friday, speaking of Ohio State football, the spring game the tickets are on sale. I've got mine in hand. Not really in hand. I ordered them. But, April 13th at noon, kickoff, you'll get to see the new day, is what I'm calling it. The new day this season with not only, it's going to be a field day, is what they're calling it. With new head coach Ryan Day and
Yeah, I mean, my favorite thing about the spring game, I just love the fans that they all buy these tickets and show up. Every spring, I've been to two spring games, and every time I've been to the spring game, sophomore year, I bought tickets, and no one even checked my ticket. And then the other time I went to the spring game, they still didn't check my ticket. You literally just walk right through the gate. So I love everyone's enthusiasm supporting the athletic program. But I honestly think you could just pull a Tennessee Jeff and just walk right through the gates, and they will not even notice that you don't have a ticket. That's how little they care at the spring game. They just honestly want people there. That's the biggest thing. Get there if you can.
I think all they care about is how much money they raised for the at the time it was the Urban Shelley Fund, but yeah, I think that's all they really care about. I'm excited for the spring game. The baseball team has a game at 3 o'clock that day, so I might catch the first half of the spring game and then walk my butt over to the baseball game. Obviously, change my shirt because I can't really wear Ohio State when I'm doing media coverage for the game. But yeah,
and then I guess. The big news this weekend, Big Cass, though, is, it's the NFL Combine, and there's 10 Buckeyes in it right now. And, I mean, a lot of talent. Shockingly, a player like Demetrius Knox wasn't invited, but I have the list here. It's Nick Bosa, Paris Campbell, Johnny Dixon, Dwayne Haskins, Draymond Jones, Mike Jordan, Terry McLaurin, Isaiah Prince, Kendall Sheffield, and Mike Weber. Those are the 10 names that were invited. Sean Nuremberger, Demetrius Knox, just a couple names that weren't invited. Obviously, Sean Nuremberger because he's a kicker. Demetrius Knox, the injury. But I'm really excited to announce that I'm going to be at the Combine on Sunday, covering Nick Bosa's workout and Draymond Jones and Rashawn Gary's. That's going to be interesting. I'm actually curious to see how he matches up. But I'm going to be there. I'm going to give my honest feedback on a live video after the Combine and just honestly share my thoughts. I'm really excited. I'm eager to see how Nick Bosa came back from his core injury.
Yeah, you definitely want to see that. Couple guys that I'm excited. I really hope if Haskins does throw, I really hope they allow him to throw to Dixon, McCorn, and get Campbell. I think that'd be so sweet. I mean, even though we've seen it a lot, but I think, you know, a lot of players, I think we, you know, if you guys read my article this week, and I think that Weber, Campbell, and Sheffield, I mean, like McLaurin and Dixon, I think they're going to get on rosters, but I don't think they have enough juice in them and enough people to raise their draft stock like Paris Campbell can. I think Paris Campbell has the most upside as the three wide receivers, just because of what New England and Kansas City basically run their offense out of. I think Paris Campbell is going to be one of the best wide receivers in this draft. I think Campbell is going to be a big sleeper as a wide receiver in this draft, because the wide receiver group is not really that deep. And I think a lot of people are going to see how fast he is and how well he runs his routes and how well you know, he's going to be in the coming out of the slot position. That's the way I feel about Paris Campbell. I know that's a little biased on me because he was one of my favorite players on this 2018 team. But I just think you get him in the right situation with a great quarterback like Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes in the slot, or even Drew Brees down there in New England as a slot receiver, Paris Campbell could have an excellent career in the NFL.
Just going with what I heard today, this is kind of a shocker, though. You brought up Mike Weber. He measured in at only 5'9". I felt like when you look at Mike Weber, I mean, he's not fully 5'9". He's like 5'9 and 5'8 or something like that. When you look at Mike Weber, I didn't see him being that short, but apparently he's really short. But the number one thing I'm excited for is to see, one, if Kendall Sheffield can break the 40-yard dash record, because a lot of people are saying he could potentially set the record. And if he does, he's going to get drafted like three rounds higher than he should. And number two is another big question is, can Paris Campbell, who said he's faster than Kendall Sheffield last offseason, can he beat Kendall Sheffield's time? Because I'm curious to see how that turns out.
Yeah, that would be quite interesting. I think Paris Campbell is going to be very, 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 she's going to obviously be very, very fast. I'm kind of curious to see what he's going to be doing. Campbell's, you know, obviously, like I just said, I think, you know, with Paris Campbell, he has the most to prove at the combine, in my opinion. I believe Mike Weber has a lot to prove also. I believe that he's going to prove that he was that first freshman to ever rush for 1,000 yards as the only freshman to, even though J.K. Dobbins was, okay, my bad, to be the first freshman to rush while Urban Meyer was a head coach, not only at Ohio State, but Florida, Bowling Green, and Utah. I think he's got a lot of skill set. He just, you know, he did struggle to hold on to football this year. I want to see how fast he is, because, I mean, there's a lot of times where he was, you know, against Michigan State in 2017, you really saw his burst in speed and in Oregon State. So, and then Kendall Sheffield, I mean,
he needs to get better with his ball skills, Kendall Sheffield.
Yeah, it's four consecutive drafts we've had a DB taken in the first round. That's highly unlikely that's going to happen this year. But Ken, I mean, if he has an excellent combine, who knows? And a pro day, who knows? Somebody like the Raiders who like to take speed might gamble on him.
I mean, the ghost of Al Davis is going to come out and pick Kendall Sheffield. Yeah, but one of their like eight first round picks that they have from the Khalil Mack trade. But with Nick Bosa, I'm sorry, I cut you off there.
Like they took Darius Hayward Bay back in like 2005, like 10th overall.
Oh yeah, no. If Kendall Sheffield runs below a four two, do not be shocked if Mark Davis wastes like the 20 somethingth pick on Kendall Sheffield and just try to make him like a wide receiver or something. But with Nick Bosa, Cass, what do you think he has to prove this weekend to be the first pick is my question. My prediction is he needs to basically put up comparable numbers to what Joey Bosa did at his combine. When Joey did it, he ran a 4.86 40-yard dash. He did only 24 reps of the bench press. He had a 32-inch vertical, 120-inch broad jump, which led defense linemen, a 6.89 second three-cone drill, which also led his group, and a 4.21 second 20-yard shuttle, which also led his group. So I think Nick Bosa is going to have to put up, at least 24 reps on the bench press and run at least a 4.86, or at least something comparable to Joey. And I think that will solidify his status as the number one overall player.
I think he's going to have to put up great shuttle run, and I think a lot of teams are going to want to see him do the shuttle run and the agility, and probably the jump and the vertical jump and basically the long jump, I call it, the broad jump. And I think he's going to do all right. I think he's going to outbench. I believe he'll outbench Joey. He may outrun Joey. Joey had the cone drill. I think Joey just with his longer legs, I think he's a little bit longer than Nick was. He was able to do that faster. I think he's just going to have. I think a lot of TP teams are going to want to see how well he can jump with that hip injury and that he had. See how well he recovers from that. I think he's going to be okay. I still think he'll be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a big, big job interview this weekend for Nick Bosa, and I'm sure he's going to do great. I really think he's going to be ready to go, because he took off. He went and trained with Joey for this and everything, so I really firmly believe Nick Bosa could honestly put up historic numbers if he's healthy, if his core muscle injury is, good to go, and he's had all this time to train, and because he wasn't obviously playing with the Buckeyes, I think he could have put up historic numbers this weekend. But it remains to be seen. How is that core muscle injury? Nick Bosa's saying, posting on social media on his Instagram, that he's healthy, he's good to go. But Sunday we're really going to find out what the deal is. I think he is ready to go, but it remains to be seen.
Definitely.
And then I guess, as we move into our favorite segment, Cass, what is that team up north up to?
Well, before we get into that, continue our high school football. Heisman odds came out, and I was shocked to see Justin Fields as a 6-1 odd.
That's not bad odds at all.
No, it's not bad odds at all. I just thought maybe Justin Herbert would be higher. I thought maybe other players would be higher, but I like it. I think he's got a lot to prove to be up there with Tua Tagovailoa, as people say, turn the ball over. Trevor Lawrence and Jalen Hurts is up there. So I think he's got a lot to prove. I don't think he's going to win the Heisman. I think Trevor Lawrence will. But it remains to be seen. I think it's going to be outstanding. And spring ball starts practice next week, so we're right around the corner.
I mean, just because Justin Herbert has the fourth best odds right now, tied with Jalen Hurts, and that just shows. I think Vegas knows something that Justin Fields is going to be the real deal, because Vegas isn't wrong. They're never wrong. The house always wins, like we know, and they know. They're already putting Justin Fields as the fourth best candidate to win the Heisman, and he really hasn't taken a snap as the Ohio State starter yet. Like, obviously, Jalen Hurts hasn't taken a snap with Oklahoma, but at least we've seen Jalen Hurts play in SEC schedule. We've seen Jalen Hurts succeed as a college quarterback for the most part. Justin Fields, we really haven't seen him, you know, play even start a game. And Vegas is telling us, oh, he's basically going to finish one less spot than Dwayne Haskins did. Right? Like, that just blows my mind. I think they're either really trusting in Fields or the Ryan Day system, but it's got to be at least exciting for Ohio's Buckeye Nation that, you know, Justin Fields is raked this high, this early, and he's only going to get better.
Exactly. I think he's going to get better. So we can bounce right back into what that team up north is doing. How about our Ohio State men's hockey team and the Ohio State indoor track and field team winning the Big Ten Conference up in Ann Arbor?
Proud of them.
Yeah, I'm proud too. I mean, Ohio State ran away, in my opinion, in the ice hockey. I think they had like a 3-game lead on Notre Dame, but still.
I mean, I was watching the ice hockey game Friday night, and Ohio State took a 2-1 lead at Michigan, and I thought they were going to, you know, clinch it there. And then they kind of fell apart, and it was a little scary because, you know, Michigan ended up winning 4-2. But then Ohio State came right back and avenged that and, you know, won the conference. And it's really good for Ohio State hockey just because it just affirms that they are now the dominant program in the Big Ten, and they are poised to potentially make, you know, a deep postseason run and, you know, potentially back to the Frozen Four.
Yeah, I really think they have a strong case to win the national championship this year. If they can get to the Frozen Four, and that'd be back-to-back years, first time ever in school history, and I think they can get into the national championship. I really like their chances. So I'm really pulling for them. Don't know much about track and field. I just love that the fact that we went up to Ann Arbor and took care of business, won the conference, and that's beating all 14 schools. And then, of course, the hockey being, you know, whenever you won a Big Ten championship up in Ann Arbor, it's fantastic.
When you look at Columbus too, Big Cass, sorry to cut you off, it just could be like Columbus has the making, I feel like, of a fantastic hockey town. I mean, when you have the Blue Jackets right there, you know, an up and coming NHL franchise after they, you know, they basically just traded for everyone in the NHL. You have a program like Ohio State in a big city like Columbus. I feel like Ohio State really has a chance to attract a lot of talent because all these big hockey programs, you know, like Minnesota Duluth or, you know, all these random schools, they're like in the middle of nowhere. But Ohio State, other than, you know, the Boston programs, you know, like Boston College and Boston University, they're in a big city. And, you know, Notre Dame doesn't have that. Michigan doesn't have that. They don't have an NHL team right down the road. That's got to attract, you know, top recruits, in my opinion.
I think with Notre Dame and Michigan, you got the Red Wings and the Blackhawks around there. But those teams are right now in the dumpsters, and the Blue Jackets are on the rise. And even though they lost to Pittsburgh last night, but on a Tuesday night, you have a sellout at Nationwide. I mean, on a Tuesday night, in Columbus, Ohio, you have a sellout crowd at Nationwide for one of the up and coming rivalries in the NHL. So that's definitely helping the hockey, and they are getting a lot of recruits. Not only just because of the Blue Jackets, but how about when you go to a football game? Even when they're playing the Rutgers, I mean, you and I went to the Rutgers game. I don't know how many games I went to this year, but they honor all the smaller sports in between the first and second quarter. Almost every game you go to, there's either a player or an athlete or a team getting honored at the horseshoe. And when you in recruits, and your whole team is getting honored during the, you know, in front of 105,000 fans at a Rutgers game. Well, this year was 90 to the rain, but or at the Nebraska game, that's going to mean something, and that's going to bring in recruits, not only just because, you know, you're seeing the football team on the field, but you're seeing the way that the university loves their athletics and the athletics and the programs that they provide in the school itself.
Oh, yeah, 100% agree, Cass. I mean, Ohio State treats, I feel like, all sports almost equally. Obviously, football gets a little precedent, but for the most part, I think they do the best job as out of any athletic program in the country in promoting all their sports equally.
I mean, look, twice this year, the Ohio State football team got honored at basketball games.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little ridiculous that they had to get honored twice. I mean, I'm happy they did, but also, hold on, Cass. I need to mention this. I know the off season's boring and everything, but can the Ohio State Twitter account not post every single workout that happens? I understand it's great and all that they're working hard, but I just rather see them work. I just rather have them work hard and not like flash it off, because I feel like they weren't doing this with Urban Meyer, and now they have Ryan Day, and they're like, you know, showing off the workouts and everything, and it's fine. But I just think, you know, we don't need to see a video of them pulling a rope or like bench pressing with Mickey Marotti screaming in the background every other day. I get it. It's the off season.
I kind of like it. Because it gets everybody pumped. Because spring ball's around the corner. Oh, sorry. I don't know what I did. But not every day. Maybe once every week.
Yeah, once a week's fine. They're doing it at least 3 to 4 times a week, it feels like.
Yeah, they are.
They're turning into an Instagram fitness account, basically.
Right. How about Jim Harbaugh? He announced this last week or this week that he is taking his team to South Africa for the spring.
He did that last year too.
Yeah, he took him to Rome 1 year, and he took him to Paris 1 year. If I'm a Michigan fan, oh, that's fine and dandy. When are you going to Indy?
For the combine. They'll go to the Indy for the combine.
If I'm a recruit and I see, oh, yeah, you're taking us a paid vacation to Paris, Rome, South Africa, but what about hosting up a Big Ten championship trophy or a national championship trophy? Or a bowl game trophy at this point.
None of that's happening. that's not what Michigan's about.
If I'm a Michigan fan, I'm mad about this trip. Three of the 5 years that your coach is taking your team overseas, but yet you've been made a trip to Indianapolis.
And the sad part is the trip to Indianapolis is not far. It's like a 2-hour drive.
Exactly. I mean, from here, it's a 2-hour drive. From Ann Arbor, it's by 4. The fact that Northwestern and Nebraska have been to more Big Ten championship games, and Iowa have been to more Big Ten championship games than Michigan, if you would have told me that in 2011, when the Big Ten championship announced that they would have a Big Ten championship game, that Northwestern, Iowa would have more trips than Michigan to Indy, I would think you're crazy.
Well, it's a fact. It is reality.
Especially when the first couple years it was leaders, legends, and Ohio State and Michigan had a chance to play against each other.
And Michigan State, too, has more trips than Michigan, which is crazy. Little brother has more than big brother.
But daddy has more.
Penn State has more. And, I mean, that, with the whole, you know, Jerry Sandusky scandal, I didn't think Penn State was going to be relevant for the next 20 years. And you know what? They're back. At this point, Maryland's next. Maryland will have one before Michigan. Mark that down.
That should be a poll question on Twitter.
I don't want to be too extreme and say Rutgers because that's pushing it. But I could totally see Maryland somehow getting there before Michigan.
Purdue.
Oh yeah, Purdue, lock that one in. Minnesota, that one's happening. Minnesota, Purdue, Maryland. yeah, it's
right. Indiana, Rutgers. That's it.
Yeah.
And Rutgers are about the only two that I don't think could get in.
No, maybe in basketball. Maybe in basketball.
Maybe, I don't know.
Hey, Rutgers is sneaky in basketball.
Yeah. They're also decent in lacrosse, too, so.
You know, that's good. I guess as we wrap up here, though, we just want to touch base with our listeners of what's happening this weekend with a big sports bulletin. So we are credentialed for the Arnold Fitness Expo where, you know, there's going to be a lot of great competitions going on and we were going to be covering it. Cass has more info. Take it away, Cass.
Our writer, Big Steve is going to be covering our MMA and wrestling stuff. That's going on, the amateur wrestling and, all the events with the fighting. Another writer of ours, Garrett Staples, is going to be covering the powerlifting. And then Aaron Pearson, the writer and co-founder with Dan and I, him and I will be headed to the Olympic events. And we both got an invite to the Hall of Fame inductions where Michael, let me get the names real quick.
Some big names. It was someone from the Steelers, I remember.
I got the names right here. Just a second. I thought I sent it to Aaron.
Well, I mean, for those unfamiliar with the Arnold, it is it's a yearly event held in Columbus. It is put on by Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, world's greatest bodybuilder, former governor of California, and, you know, Hollywood actor. But he puts on this huge, you know, fitness expo where, you know, all the biggest, you know, fitness stars come around, athletes, and they all converge in Columbus. And it's a huge, huge event. It's basically Columbus's version of Mr. Olympia. It is awesome. And I am jazzed to be covering it, Cass. Do you have the list?
Hold on. I'm looking for it. I'm sorry, folks. I'm in the process of moving. I don't have Wi-Fi or everything.
You know what, though? All right. It's no big deal. You know what? They'll just have to wait and find it out. But
the big name is Michael Butler.
That's it. But yeah, they're going to have to wait. Just go to bigsportsbulletin.com, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and you'll find out the rest of the names. But it's going to be an awesome event. Check us out. And then we have more events to come. Baseball season's kicking off, and we'll be covering that. And maybe some Columbus Destroyer games soon, and a lot more.
Speaking of Ohio State baseball, they are 5-3 right now, off to a pretty good start. They swept the Dean Hall. They dropped two games and then won one and lost one. So I'll have to get back on their schedule. But they play this weekend. So congratulations to the baseball team. They're doing, you know, pretty well right now. Lacrosse is undefeated. Ohio State lacrosse is undefeated. I think they're 3-0. Got some games, good games coming up. Big Ten games getting ready to sneak around and. A lot of good things are happening around Ohio State and the community. The Blue Jackets, despite they lost last night, but they're on the line. The Columbus Crew announced today that they will be starting Columbus Crew FC would be starting some new with the Columbus City schools, building soccer fields and help with the community and doing great stuff. It's something that Anthony Precourt won again in Columbus.
Nope. And I'm excited because after the Arnold on Saturday, I'm going to be heading over to Mapfre Stadium for the season opener. So I'm pumped for that. I'm going to be putting some content on the Twitter account. Nothing major. Maybe a quick article recap. Maybe a quick live stream or something. Just to get a feel of the atmosphere because it's a big day for the city of Columbus. It really is. Because soccer staying. And
yeah.
the fans, they're nuts about the Buckeyes. And if you've ever sat, you haven't, but I have. If you ever sat in the Nordeca section, it's a once in a lifetime experience. So it's gonna be awesome being in Columbus this weekend, and then off to Indy in the morning. So big cast, like always, man. Well, we don't even have a saying this year because the year's over. It's usually win the moment, but I don't know. We have to make one.
If you follow the Bengals, their new head coach, Zach Taylor, they're calling it a new day down there. By the way, the Reds and Indians are full strong in spring training. The Reds are off to a great start. I think they're, 3-0-1. They tied the Indians the first game, but they are off to a great start. Fantastic start. Don't know the Indians like here because I don't really follow the Indians, but baseball's around the corner. We got a lot of big time spring March Madness coming up. Boy, we're going to be busy right before football. And I think since it's a new website, we're on a new website, same podcast, new website. I think we'll go with the new day this year. This is our saying right now until the Buckeyes come around and with their new saying. But as of right now, go Bucks. It is a new day.
It is a new day. I love it. Go Bucks.